Although Davis had great administrative experience as Secretary of War, he was not a good administrator. He immersed himself too much in the minutiae of administration. He didn't seem to be able to reconcile himself to the fact that some paper could be taken care of without his looking at it. He didn't have to touch every piece of paper, but he often did. He was not able to delegate, to let his cabinet have a free rein, or at least a freer rein. Abraham Lincoln was very good at that. Davis was not. He also tried, I think, too much to combine civilian and military leadership. I think a part of Davis would have much preferred to be a general, to be in the field leading troops, not behind a desk in Richmond, putting up with all the headaches that a chief executive does. And because a part of him, I think, wanted to be a general, he never was willing to let go of part of that authority. He was never willing to think of having a Ulysses S. Grant, for example, as general-in-chief with very wide latitude. He never was willing to give Lee that kind of wide latitude until very late in the war. The Confederate Congress and Confederate people, in effect, forced Davis to accept Lee as general-in-chief. But in a practical sense, Davis never did become reconciled to that. He tried to hold too much, I think, of both the civilian and the military power in his hands. Should have concentrated on the civilian side and kept his interest, of course, in the military side, but not quite the control that he wanted. His secretaries of war and generals simply didn't have the latitude that Lincoln gave to the men he trusted, to Secretary of War Stanton, to Ulysses S. Grant, and even to others before Grant. Davis was also very rigid. He was unbending, certain of his own opinions and policies, and quite insensitive to public opinion. Very different from Lincoln there. He could be humorous and warm in private, but appeared cold and aloof in public. He never was able, really, to speak to the Confederate people in a way that would rally them the way that Lincoln could rally the Northern people. Now, Davis enjoyed a brief period of general support early in the war, when most Southerners thought it their patriotic duty to support the government. Organized political parties in the South had disappeared during the secession crisis, as I said earlier, and political figures agreed not to revive the Whig and Democratic Party organizations, and they never did during the war. It was evidence of this desire to present a common front to the Yankees. But a problem with this was, historians argue about whether this was a problem or not, I believe it was, it denied opponents of Jefferson Davis an institutional form through which they could express their displeasure with Davis. The Democratic Party could fulminate against Lincoln. Democrats are the opposition party. That made sense. They had a role. There is no equivalent in the Confederacy, and Confederate politics became much more personal. Especially after military reverses in the West in early 1862, and after the central government showed evidence of becoming more and more powerful as the war went on. That alienated many people in the Confederacy. Conscription in 1862, the taxes that Congress finally did pass, impressment of supplies, Davis's suspension of the writ of habeas corpus on more than one occasion, all of these things helped fuel what became an anti-administration faction. And that faction grew rapidly and became very bitter. Among its most vocal members was Vice President Alexander H. Stephens. He and Davis became totally estranged during the war. Stephens eventually left Richmond, just went home to Georgia, and fulminated against Davis from there. Stephens wrote at one time that Davis is a weak and vacillating, timid, petulant, peevish, and obstinate man. A Mississippi politician said Davis was, quote, a miserable, stupid, one-eyed, dyspeptic, arrogant tyrant. And a prominent Georgian had his own list of adjectives for Davis. He said the president is a little, conceited, hypocritical, sniveling, canting, malicious, ambitious, dogged, knave, and fool. And I could go on pretty much endlessly with quotations like this from the people who did not like Davis. The crux of much of their opposition was that Davis and his administration were trampling on personal rights and state rights in the Confederacy. The very things the South had gone to war to protect. The central government appeared to these people to be too powerful, even all powerful, taxing the people, forcing them into the armies, denying them habeas corpus, Lincoln did more of that than Davis did.